Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, Sue Perkins here, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, what a joy to welcome you to Just a Minute. But first of all, let's introduce you to the four magnificent humans who are playing Just a Minute this week. They are Giles Brandreth, Jan Ravens, Tony Hawkes, and Rachel Paris. So please whoop and cheer for all four of them. Well, I'll be asking them in time-honoured fashion to speak for 60 seconds on a subject that I give them without hesitating, repeating or deviating. So let's see how that goes. And Giles, we're going to start with you. I wonder if you can guide us around this subject. Orienteering. What can you tell us about that in a minute without hesitating, repeating or deviating, starting now?
Princess Badroulbadour was a beautiful lady from old Peking. And the earring I gave her was one of the pearls of the Orient. Indeed, that Orient earring cemented our relationship. It made us feel special, unique. It was love, not lust, that Orient earring of hers. And when I placed it, moved it from one lobe and put it on t'other, we knew that we would be together forever. An Orient earring does something to a man when he is travelling, in a curious way, across a landmass to get to the love of his life, as she proved to be, my Orient earring girl. How I adored her. She had a necklace as well as the Orient earring. She was a creature of extraordinary, exquisite beauty. But it was the Orient earring that drove me wild because it had magic properties. If you warmed your fingers against the Orient earring, extraordinary things happened.
Tony, you buzzed.
Repetition of extraordinary.
Woo! It's a correct challenge. And you have 1 second remaining.
No!
A correct challenge, you absolute fiend. Hawk by name and hawk by nature. Your time starts now.
I get a point.
Jan.
Yes?
We are with you, my lovely, now. Prog rock. That's your subject. What can you tell us in 60 seconds about that subject, starting now?
Prog rock was the chosen listening material of very, really, honestly quite nerdy...
There were so many qualifying words. So many... Oh, Rachel, you challenged.
I'm really sorry.
No.
I feel like there was a tiny bit of hesitation.
Yes, there was.
There might have been a tiny bit of hesitation. I have to say, out of the 9 seconds that Jan spoke, I'd say 8.5 were pure hesitation. Yeah. Correct challenge means you get the subject, Rachel. 51 seconds on prog rock, please, starting now.
Prog rock, for me, brings to mind a huge piece of art, the only one, in fact, in our house, which is an enormous pink sound wave, which is a guitar chord from a Pink Floyd song. And that is...
Jan, was there a repetition of pink?
Pink wave.
33 seconds, it's back with you. Prog rock, take us through it, Jan, starting now.
Perhaps the apotheosis of prog rock was Genesis, with their various albums Nursery Crime, Trespass, Foxtrot, Selling England by the Pound, all put together by this bunch of middle-class public school boys referring to Arthurian legends and classic tales of the Greek myths so that everybody could sit there and appreciate the music and all the references that they felt very proud of themselves for getting. And lots of prog rock bands came from... Well. It was my era, to be fair. Oh. It was very much my era. Peter Gabriel on stage with a flower mask.
Yes.
Oh.
The Archangel Gabriel was my era.
Well, done. You spoke as the whistle went there, Jan. It means you get to that all-important point because that's what we're here for, remember.
Yeah.
Rachel,
yes.
We are with you now, my lovely. A seaside holiday. Tell us everything about a seaside holiday in 60 seconds without repeating, hesitating or deviating, and your time starts now.
A seaside holiday is something that I wanted very much in my childhood, but instead often experienced a holiday to the Lake District, which is absolutely fine. I would come out of a cottage with my...
Giles.
Does seem a bit harsh, but to begin at the seaside and then go straight to the Lake District...
I was just getting to it!
I was allowing that, but then we came out of the cottage in the Lake District.
I was about to say with my bucket and spade.
But Giles, she was saying that she wanted to go to the seaside, but she was going. She ended up in the Lake District, as I understood it.
Oh, fine.
She could have gotten in the...
Everyone, go easy on Giles. He's very bitter about what happened in the Lake District.
So I can be going to the seaside in Paris, Rome, can I? Hmm.
No. She might have been coming out of the door of the cottage and her father said, get into the car, we're all off to Barrow-in-Furness or Morecambe.
Yes. You know, Rachel is a new player and it doesn't suit you, Giles.
Doesn't
be so aggressive with your challenge. Your time will come, my friend. You keep the subject after an incorrect challenge. I'd like to hear more about a seaside holiday, please, in 44 seconds. Rachel, starting now.
The coast of Margate is a wonderful seaside venue. It has an old-fashioned cinema. It has myriad fish and chip shops. It has a people who...
Jam.
Sorry.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it has three times.
Yes.
Oh, yes, that's very nice to your friend. I mean, she's new to the game. A little courtesy, a little kindness.
As I say, Giles is quite bitter about...
Jan, I think that was a really fair challenge, and, in fact, I thank you for it.
Yeah. It's a correct challenge, though. It was a lot of... It. Normally, I don't sweat the small words, but when they're repeated so quickly upon one another, then we have to give it. And so, Jan, you get the subject with 32 seconds on the clock. A seaside holiday, please, starting now.
When I was a child, a seaside holiday meant a trip to North Wales to my Auntie Pat's cottage every single year. And we would get in a Ford Popular and go off to the beaches of Anglesey, Port Dynllaen, Nevin, Rosneigor, Triada Bay and Newborough, which was our favourite one. And we would go there and the...
Giles, is this a challenge to do with the coastline or something to do with the rules of just a minute?
A simple hesitation.
Yes, it was.
You're give you... You're quite right, Giles.
I'll give
You're
you that.
You're quite right. It's all going to be OK, Giles.
So, Giles, you've got 6 seconds. There's 7 seconds on the clock, but Tony will buzz in. on a seaside holiday, and your time starts now.
Ramsgate, Margate, Broadstairs, these are the seaside venues that I like most too. This is why Rachel, with our bucket and spade...
Well,
I'm feeling a lot better.
So, scores at the end of that round. In third place, we've got Rachel. Just ahead of Rachel, in joint second, we've got Giles and Jan. And edging ahead, the Hawk. It's Tony Hawk! Right, second round, and we begin with you again, Giles. Humble pie. Right. It's a stretch, but I believe in you. You might not have eaten it, but can you tell us about it in a minute, starting now?
In my time, I have been forced to eat humble pie. As a parliamentarian, I eventually lost my seat. By then, I knew I had contempt for my constituents. It came as a bit of a shock to the system to find the feeling was entirely mutual. And it did not help that my darling wife put our house in the constituency up for sale during the election campaign.
Jan.
Sorry, I think constituency, but there was constituency and constituents.
Yes. Yeah.
I realised my mistake as soon as I buzzed and it was too late. I do apologise,
guys. That's right. It's fine.
It's all good. He keeps the subject. 42 seconds to carry on humble pie, starting now.
What is interesting about humble pie, and I know this through my friendship with Susie Dent, the brilliant lexicographer, is that the word humble is normally spelt without the H. Humble pie is what it was originally. And the...
Tony.
Interesting to who?
I think you meant interesting to whom, and I will continue.
enjoyed that. I'm going to give you an extra point for the challenge, Tony, but it's not according to the rules of Just a Minute, so Giles will keep the subject. Stay on target is all I will say. Humble pie indeed does have the derivation of which you speak. Let's hear more about it in 28 seconds, Giles, starting now.
I'm relieved to find that my friend and colleague, Sue Perkins, understands the English language in a way that some other people who have gathered here today do not seem to. And she recognises that humble is a 14th century word that described the innards.
Tony.
Repetition of humble.
Yes and yes. It weighs heavily on both of us that I'm in the central spot. I must make an adjudication. And Tony, I'm going to give this to you because I'm just enjoying this too much. Not too. 15 seconds on humble pie, please, starting now.
I've never actually had to eat humble pie.
Poppycock!
We shall allow Tony to carry on. 11 seconds remaining on humble pie, starting now.
The nature presenter, Kate Humble, is very keen on making pies, so I'm told. And you go round her house and sit down at her lovely table, and she gets it out of the oven, plops it on the table.
Tony was speaking as the whistle went, which means he gets the point. And Jan, we are with you next. Your subject is nuns. What can you tell us about nuns in 60 seconds? I know I could speak for days. Your time starts now.
One of the most remarkable and beautiful nuns I have ever seen, I was fortunate enough to see in the Uffizi Gallery in Florence only the other day, in a painting by Fra Filippo Lippi of the Madonna with the Child and angels. And the Virgin Mary in this piece was modelled by his lover, who was a nun. And Fra Filippo...
Oh. They want to hear the story now.
They
it
do.
Was good. Yeah. It was so good. Tony, you challenge.
Repetition of Fra.
Yeah.
You get the subject now. It's 30 seconds, please, Tony, on nuns, starting now.
I once met this nun who had taken a vow of silence, and I said to her, "How are you?" And she said...
An anecdote made for this show. Made for it. Jan, you challenged.
Well, I did challenge, although it was a very good gag. There was repetition of said anyway.
Oh, damn. Otherwise, I might have been able to get away with it.
Jan, correct challenge. You've got 22 seconds. Knock us out with nuns.
Another famous nun who did very good work campaigning against the death penalty was Sister Helen Prejean, or Jan. And she was a writer and a... She was...
Giles.
Given the natural fluency that you come up with, the two ers, there was
a
bit of hesitation.
There was some hesitation.
There was a bit of hesitation. I'll give you that, Giles. Nuns. Here we go. 9 seconds. Your time starts now.
I have had so many longings for nuns in my life that I feel awkward talking about it, but I'm going to do so nonetheless because I feel it's essential to me.
Giles was speaking as the whistle went, which means he gets the point. And Tony, we are with you next. A Clockwork Orange. Ooh, it's tricky, but it could be a cracker. 60 seconds, please, on A Clockwork Orange, starting now.
I used to have a Clockwork Orange, which I used to wind up by saying that it was ugly. And it used to get very cross with me and sit down and watch the Stanley Kubrick film starring Malcolm McDowell, which was originally a novel by Anthony Burgess and was extremely violent. I don't know whether you ever saw it. My goodness, it wouldn't really be something that you'd want to watch on a Wednesday afternoon just before going bowling, which is what me and the orange did later that day. I am talking such rubbish. I feel someone should buzz. Thank you.
Giles was happy to oblige. Your challenge there?
My challenge was to help a friend in need.
Wow, you're an emotionally complex duo, aren't you? I mean, helping somebody out isn't within the rules of the game.
No, he was indicating that he was hesitating, and it was a cry for help. I've learnt this because we go to the relate meetings because my wife doesn't want to come.
A clockwork Clockwork Orange, please. Giles, 22 seconds of your finest, please. Your time starts now.
Interestingly enough, I used to know Anthony Burgess when he lived in Brighton, and he explained to me that he had first wanted to call it A Clockwork Banana, but the publishers objected. He then considered A Clockwork Apple before going through A Clockwork Pineapple, A Clockwork...
Careful now.
Yes, he said cockwork.
Yes, I mean, I will give you that. It was a stumble on yes, intended. So, yes, Tony, 5 seconds.
Oh, no!
Yes! Oh, here it comes again, the fury. 5 seconds starting now.
We couldn't believe our eyes as the Clockwork Orange rolled down the hill towards the...
Yay! Tony, you were speaking, you get the point, and Rachel, we are with you. Mm. Now, your subject... Mm. How I'd Catch the Loch Ness Monster. What can you tell us about that? In a minute, starting now.
How I'd Catch the Loch Ness Monster is a question that keeps me up at night. I have given it a lot of thought and finally decided my method. I plan to have two very large nets, like you'd find on a tennis court, erected either side of said loch. They would be moved slowly, slowly over a week.
Oh! Beautiful.
Very blatant, yeah.
It was beautiful, though. I kind of... Hopefully you'll get it back, because I want to hear. This sounds a very good entrapment procedure. Giles, you buzzed?
Because of the repetition
yes.
of slowly, slowly.
Yes, slowly, slowly. Easily done. A correct challenge. You get the subject, How I'd Catch the Loch Ness Monster, starting now.
How I'd Catch the Loch Ness Monster by Giles Brandreth. I'd drain the lake. It's the only way to do it and prove once and for all what Nessie looks like. A beautiful creature, I believe, a curious mixture between an Oriental princess and a nun from Italy. That's my idea of what she could appear as. But we will only discover once we have sucked all the liquid from that loch. Of course, it would do damage to the Scottish tourist.
Tony.
I think the slight hesitation again there. I don't think he said damage correctly. I think he's slurred. I think I think he's drunk too much before
the show. You did, Charles.
Show.
You said damage.
Damage.
Yes, I mean, there was a bit, but do you know what? I'm going to let Charles keep it. Just to keep the peace, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. It's what Nicholas would have done. Everyone gets the benefit of the doubt. That's the way it works. So, Giles, you have 5 seconds remaining, and your time starts now.
How I'd catch the Loch Ness Monster is quite simple. I would arrive at the corner of the loch, and there I'd find a boat.
And Giles gets the point for speaking as the whistle was blown. Well done there. So, end of that round. Let's have a little look at how the scores are shaping up. We've got Rachel in fourth place. Just ahead we have Jan. Just ahead we have Giles. And slightly out in front, Tony Hawkes. And we begin again with you, Giles. And dry shampoo. Dry shampoo.
Oh, I really hope I steal this.
Oh, well, you know what to do. Get your lugholes primed for all those hesitations, repetitions or deviations. Let's hear what you've got to say about dry shampoo. Giles, starting now.
In my part of Kensington, where a crash is what happens when two cars collide, we call champagne shampoo. And I like dry shampoo, if I'm honest with you. Rather, as I like dry shampoo.
Tony.
Repetition of like.
Yes,
I like dry shampoo rather as I like dry sherry.
Yeah. Yeah, you're agreeing. You're agreeing with that fact.
And I used to like Tony.
Did you like him dry?
Correct challenge, Tony. You get the subject with 45 seconds remaining. Dry shampoo. Take it away, sir.
I don't know a huge amount about dry shampoo, so it seems a shame that I've got the subject and not Rachel. Maybe if I say Rachel again, she'll buzz.
Rachel, you challenged.
I feel like it was deviation and kindness.
The correct challenge there. Well done. Rachel, you get the subject with 37 seconds remaining. Let's hear what you know about dry shampoo starting now.
As a regular user of dry shampoo, I'm wearing it now, I was honoured about 5 years ago to be cast in a commercial for dry shampoo. Many of you, I'm sure, might be wearing some now. I was only paid a fraction of money on the day, but it was an honour simply to be involved. Because I was hoping I would be paid in dry shampoo, but unfortunately, I was paid in court. Yes.
That was cruel.
Tony.
Repetition of paid.
Yes. There were three paids in there. And you have once again pounced with 6 seconds remaining.
Oh, my Lord.
I know, but, you know, we mustn't groan for somebody being good at their job. I mean, have we reached... we've reached that stage as a society.
We must
boo competency. I guess we have. 6 seconds, Tony. You get the subject, dry shampoo. Let's have it starting now.
When we came into the dressing rooms this evening, we fellow...
Giles.
What fantasy world are you living in? When we came into the dressing rooms, the cupboard downstairs cannot reasonably be described as that.
Go on, Giles, have it. 1 second to go. Dry shampoo starting now!
I've got a point, and I'm very pleased about that.
Now, Jan.
Yes.
Oh, this subject. Alan Rickman.
Oh.
Just so talented. Let's hear 60 seconds, please, on the much-missed delight that's Alan Rickman, starting now.
The gorgeous Alan Rickman was very well known for his very slow, lugubrious...
Tony, you're the destroyer of worlds tonight.
Well, I knew someone else would buzz in, so I thought I'd better get in first. Two verys.
Correct challenge means you've got 53 seconds. You've taken the subject. Alan Rickman, your time starts now.
I think Alan Rickman was nominated for a Tony Award, but I said no. And he was very bitter about this and didn't speak to me for the rest of his career, which was his loss in many ways, because I'm very kind and deviant when you get to know me. I have little to say on this. I wish Jan would...
Rachel, you buzzed.
Deviation.
Deviation was imminent, so I'm going to let you have that one. 30 seconds, please, on Alan Rickman, Rachel, if you wouldn't mind. Your time starts now.
My favourite role of Alan Rickman's was as the Sheriff of Nottingham in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, a film which had a formative effect on me when I saw it in the local cinema with my father when I was about 6 years old. Alan Rickman was a fantastic character, and even though he was playing a definitely villainous role, he was attractive because of being a bit evil and wearing a lot of...
Yay! Deftly done for someone who is very new to the game. Magnificently brought home, and you get a point to boot. For me, it's Hans Gruber. Gruber in Die Hard. I'll never get over it. Right, Tony, we are with you. Oh, this is interesting. I wonder how much you know about this. Sourdough bread. What can you tell us about sourdough bread in 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating? Starting now.
Sourdough bread is excellent for losing weight because after you've bought a loaf, you can't afford any other food. I know this as I went into a baker's shop in Covent Garden last week, but the mortgage is coming through, so I have one for the weekend. Now, perhaps at home you'd like to get your pens and papers out as I give you my recipe and how I cook it. And it's brilliant, trust me. I just need the seconds to ebb away a little bit quicker.
Rachel.
Deviation?
Well, listen, you're new to the game and this is your time to have the benefit of the doubt, OK? So, yes, I'll give you that. 26 seconds. What do you know about sourdough bread? We're about to find out, I think. Starting now.
Many people during lockdown created new activities for themselves, and my husband's one of those was the cooking of sourdough bread, amongst other types of loaf. Focaccia, whole grain, seeded. He would bake them as presents and sometimes for us to eat as well at home. He would give them away for birthdays and anniversaries.
Woohoo! groove, baby. And why not? A point goes to you for speaking as the whistle went. And sadly, we are coming to the final round.
Oh, I know.
Thank you for that. And our final topic is with you, Rachel, and it is the bitter end.
Ooh.
Which is what we're calling the post-show party with Giles and Tony. Can you tell us about the bitter end, please, starting now?
The Bitter End is the name of a musical I wrote towards the end of 2016, which focused on the failure of a marmalade factory. The protagonist was Monsieur Bon Maman, who discovered that a terrible mistake had been made in his premises where sugar had failed to be added to his signature mixture, and therefore the sticky remnants were horribly bitter when people came to eat them. He remedied this by...
There was more and more hesitation.
Yeah, kind of.
I have to give you that. But you know what? For such a new player of the game to speak so fluently for 43 seconds, that's strong work. But it was a correct challenge under the rules of just a minute, and make no mistaking. So well done, Jan. And you get the subject, which, to remind you, is The Bitter End, starting now.
The bitter end is that horrible moment when you get to the finish of your drink in the pub, that hoppy ale that has refreshed you and nourished you and has been the...
Oh, it's horrible, but I heard buzzer before whistle, although now I can't hear anything because Caroline does blow it really close to me. But do you know what? It's time to give Jan the benefit of the doubt. Jan, you were speaking as the whistle went. Well done. Well, sadly, that's all we've got time for, but let's have those scores. In joint third place, we have Jan and Rachel. In second place, we have Giles Brandreth, and narrowly out in front. Please give it up for today's winner, Mr. Tony Hawkes. And there, my lovelies, I'm afraid we do have to leave you. But first of all, please let me give my utter thanks to the delightful players of the game, Giles Brandreth, Jan Ravens, Tony Hawkes and Rachel Paris. We're also indebted to Ian Messiter, who devised this show, and to the wonderful Nicholas Parsons, who chaired it so impeccably for 50 glorious years. We also thank Caroline Barlow, who's made me tone deaf by blowing her whistle in my left ear with such gusto. The producer was Rajiv Karia, and it was a BBC Studios production. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thanks so much for listening wherever you are. And please do take the time to join us again next time we play Just a Minute. ¶¶